Writers Club. Do solemnly swear to be a He-Man and hate women and not play with them or talk to them unless I have to. And especially never fall in love. And if I do, may I die slowly and painfully and suffer for hours or until I scream bloody murder.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina, where all of the opinions are made up and the points don't matter. Well, I mean, the points are opinions, right? And that's a terrible Whose Line Is It Anyways reference. I'm Kyle, joined by my cohorts here, Cam Clark, senior editor, LRMonline.com, Shockey, another senior editor, admin, LRMonline.com. All of us co-hosts of the Cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Be sure to check out LRMonline.com for all written news, needs, opinions, celebrity interviews, and more in the entertainment, geek, pop culture world. And of course, subscribe if you're watching us on the YouTube channel. We got a lot of really great content for you guys, anime reactions, podcasts covering anything and everything you can imagine in geek, pop culture, entertainment. And if it's a podcast, not a reaction video, or, you know, like anime trailer reactions, it goes up on your favorite podcast apps. We do have merch, including some Star Wars stuff. Link in the description box below. Redbubble link in the description box below. And I already said the website. So, yeah, that's it. Hey, what'd you guys think of the funny little video at the beginning? We're going to get into some spicy, maybe, somewhat. Not really. It's going to be lukewarm because we're really not all that controversial. But we're going to talk about some comments from the upcoming, supposed to be, if it ever gets released, the director of the upcoming Rey film. But first, we're going to talk about twinsies in Star Wars. Because the Acolyte, one of the next things coming out, right? That's next. Yeah. Is set to feature some twinnings there. Cam, what are we hearing about that?
Yeah, so this is information that come from Daniel RPK, Daniel Rickman, who's obviously pretty regular insider for the Marvel side of things, has been getting a lot right on that front at the moment. Obviously, this is a Star Wars one. You know, I don't think his hit rate is as good, but, you know, I've certainly no reason to doubt him at the moment. And you'd said he'd got a bit of information that Amandla Stenberg is actually playing twins in the series, identical twins. One that goes to the Jedi side and was trained by the Jedi, and one that goes down the Sith direction. How or why this happens? We kind of know little bits, if you remember, from those leaks that come out, that Lucasfilm like really shut down very quickly, those two leakers that came out with stuff. And it was kind of hard to look at the trailers and the things that we had saw and kind of work out how those connected to those early rumours. And I think this might be the answer, that it starts off with these sort of two siblings, twins, that are split up and follow different paths after that. So that's basically it. The other thing he said is that Manny Jacinto is playing a good and a bad version of his character, but doesn't say he's a twin or anything like that, so it doesn't really give any more context. So that's a bit harder one
split
to...
Split personality.
That's what I was thinking, something maybe mad like that, or it's as simple as somebody starts off bad and goes good, or vice versa, you know, somebody breaks bad, breaks good. There's loads of different options, and I think it's, without too much context, it's hard to kind of define that too much, but the twins angle with Stenberg's character does kind of make sense with the little other bits and bobs that we've heard as well, so worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah. I mean, twins is a theme that gets used in Star Wars. There were those of us that wondered if the sequel trilogy would be borrowing from the EU, and where maybe instead of Jaina and Jason being raised together, it's two separate kids, but nah, they're, you know, no relation there. Thank God it would have made the ending of Skywalker very weird. But par for course,
but it might
par
have been
for
a
course
better,
for Star
a better
Wars
trilogy if it followed more closely the EU. I would have liked it to be more than one Skywalker chair, a good and a bad one kind of thing. But
you know, my only thing is I get tired of seeing the same thing done again and again. And you brought up before we started the show a little bit that this could be different with identical twins and both being raised to use the Force from the get-go. And yeah, sure, there's a little bit difference there. I don't like watering down what makes certain things special. And anytime you start repeating something, even if you expand on it, you risk doing that. So I'm reserving judgment till it comes out. That was the only thing that I kind of was like, twins again, yay. And I say that as an EU
fan. Something comes out anyway. Sometimes yeah, exactly. Things sound so terrible when you hear them on paper or through rumors. And, you know, Avengers Endgame was leaked before it came out and people were trashing it as there's no way this can be the story because it's crap. And then everyone loved it because in the context of the movie, it was completely different. So you need to wait till it comes out.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of like Kenobi. Kenobi sounded awful on paper, and it turned out to be awful. But hey, Andor didn't sound all that hot on paper for me, and it turned out freaking amazing. So we'll see how it goes. Shockey, what do you think about this?
It seems similar to what was it, the early 2000s PC game Old Republic, where you had the twin brothers Arcan and was it Thexen? I think it was. That were in charge of, like, so their father was the Eternal Emperor and stuff, and you thought, you know, playing the game, and you can watch the trailers, they basically tell the story for the whole entire game, but basically you think one's going to go good and one's going to go bad, and then at the very end, spoiler alert, the one that you thought was going to be bad actually was good, and the one that was good is actually bad. So if it's that storyline, I've already seen it. I think some of the diehard fans that are my age have already seen that storyline. So it's not going to be a shock for me. But, you know, for the younger fans that didn't play Old Republic, you know, on PC and stuff, it's, you know, it'll be interesting. It's a good storyline, you know, for the PC realm. I don't know how well it's going to transition.
The thing I should point out that I didn't say was that apparently he said that the focus would be on the Sith one rather than the Jedi one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that makes sense with the whole Acolyte side of things.
But yeah, it's kind of the same thing. It's each brother is kind of fighting for their father's love, and it turns out the one that goes completely dark side gets the approval of the father and kills the other brother and stuff. So, you know, it's something we've already seen before, or at least I have, you know.
Speaking of video games, something Shockey had said last week wouldn't see the light of day this year. I agree. Still might not see the light of day this year. Cam, tell us about what happened with Star Wars Outlaws this week.
Maybe not this year, but they have announced that it will be out this year. I can't get into the story on my phone. I don't know why that's happening. My phone, not the website, guys.
Right.
Basically there was some official documentation come out from Disney Parks, and it listed things that were coming up in 2024, and Star Wars Outlaws was listed as late 2024. However, after that started getting reported, someone from Ubisoft, who are the actual, I think it's one of their studios that's making the game, but it was someone from Ubisoft contacted IGN to correct that and say it's now been corrected to just say 24, not late 24, which is a bit strange given that that would imply it might be earlier than that, and I really don't think that'll be the case, but who knows. They also did show a bit more footage from it, which I couldn't quite catch at the time I was doing the article for it, but that did come out later on. I didn't feel it was kind of worth covering on its own at this point in time. But, you know, suffice to say, they are aiming to release it in 2024. But as you
say,
their
hope.
We'll see. Games get delayed all the time.
And the fact that they even were like, no, we're not even going to put late. Let's just put a year.
Exactly.
Like, just in case. That's what kind of threw me. Like, they don't even have faith in it hitting. So, man.
They could have just left it. Because then people wouldn't have expected it. Late could have been like, we're releasing it on December 31st. Right. Oh, it's only slipped a month or two, you know, or so on and so forth.
Maybe there's a big surprise and it's further along than we all thought, and it'll release in summer.
I mean, Ubisoft tend to finish their games, though. That doesn't necessarily mean you're always
it's
good
gonna be
games,
good,
or they're always finished in terms of how well they work. But open world games is kind of their thing. They use a lot of you know, automatic process generation stuff for a lot of their maps. And a lot of gamers sometimes think some of their open world games feel a bit soulless compared to the likes of maybe GTA 5 or the more kind of pinnacle examples of open world. However, they do tend to finish the games and get them out there to the public, so who knows? And really, this doesn't look that much a complicated game other than the fact that it's got a Star Wars skin on top of it.
Yeah, you would think that there would be a lot of assets and things, rules, parts of the engine and stuff that they could just be borrowing from other things, plug and play, you know, and change out skins and stuff, but I don't know, man. Games is a weird industry these days.
If they get this game out this year, it's going to be another Cyberpunk. It's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah.
Just completely broken.
Yeah, it's going to be broken. Yeah. It's
another 8 to 10 months to fix a few patches.
It's 25 at the earliest.
This studio don't tend to do that. I think it's Massive Games, isn't it, that's doing this.
Right, but when Ubisoft, you got to think too, this is the first game that they have under like the Disney umbrella, and you know, Disney likes to push things out and let's get them out without thinking things through.
Yeah, and look, it can happen to any studio. I mean, like you mentioned Cyberpunk, CDPR were one of the top, everybody loved them, and then and people like Cyberpunk now that it's fixed, but when it came out and some of the things they did, it was just a disaster.
Smart thing to do is just not put a timetable on it. Let it just, you know, let them finish it. Whenever they do finish it, give it, you know, a 2-month announcement and then boom, drop it.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
I would just like to see, I would just like to see a Star Wars game not titled Jedi something.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And I don't mean that there can't be Jedi in it. I'm specifically saying that series.
You want to play as Jedi.
I don't mind playing as another Jedi. I want to get away from the Jedi series.
Yeah,
Survivor,
I agree with you.
Fallen Order and all of that. That's what I meant by without Jedi in the title.
It's not my kind of game. They're not my kind of game, those games.
And we already played The Force Unleashed, and this was just a
2.0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was Titanfall mechanics with the Force Unleashed. Yep. And hey, people might dig that. I already played that.
The first one had a great storyline to it. That's, you know, Fallen Order or whatever.
Yeah.
Survivor just didn't, to your point, it was the same mechanics that we played in Force Unleashed and everything. So the storyline didn't carry it. So.
Well, we could hate on
First Unleashed, though the second one was absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You gotta at some point start kind of shaking things up. Or if you're gonna go to the well, you need to go there and do it better than it's ever been done before. Just giving
charge.
It a modern shine doesn't satisfy.
That's not the way video companies look at it. Why do video companies look at Star Wars is, let's make a bang average game, skin it Star Wars,
yep,
put the Star Wars titles on it, and add an extra $100 million onto the profit, but we spent the same, but we need to give them some money because we're using their license. So if we still make more in the long run, let's do it. That's how it works with these licenses. That's practically how every company, it's very rarely like GoldenEye for the N64. I mean, these are like the rare examples where someone's took an actual license and then made a genre-defining game out of that.
You remember,
it just doesn't happen.
Did you guys ever play Star Wars? What was the first-person fighting the fighting game? What was it? Star Wars.
The fighting one, the Masters of Teres Kasai. The like.
Where it was like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Masters of Teres Kasai.
Oh,
it's a 3D fighter.
Masters of Teres Kasai,
Or
whatever it was, the youth pronounced it different for me, but I'm just going
That was a trash game.
Yeah, I had that game. It was absolutely the worst game I had in my collection. I played it for 10 minutes and binned it and never played it.
I liked the Star Wars version of Twisted Metal way more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
I remember that.
That was fun. Yeah.
And there was like Jedi Battles, which was garbage.
Yeah, Jedi Power Battles
Jedi
is a
Power
little
Battles.
Like isometric over the top side type. Yeah.
Yep.
There used to be so many.
See, a Mortal Kombat type game, though. They're not my type of game, but if you made a proper you know, people that make fighting games and appeal to that fighting game community, and you just put the Star Wars skin on it.
That's one of those things.
Jedi and Sith battling against each other.
I don't necessarily think Star Wars feeds into. I mean, sure, you can add Vader. Vader was added to like Soul Calibur and stuff like that. You can add a character, but I don't think you can have an entire Star Wars fighting game, even one taken seriously by
maybe they would just not be different enough from each other.
NetherRealm or Capcom even. I don't think it leads to it, but
seeing Slave Leia fight Vader 1v1 just did not make any sense whatsoever.
No, that's stupid. God, when they do that of like Han Solo fighting.
That was Masters of Terror.
Yep. Those wild days of PlayStation games.
What was that? PlayStation 1, I think?
Yep. Yes. That was the PS1 era. We could complain about Star Wars gaming and its state. You guys can actually watch a video of us complaining about the absolute state of Star Wars gaming here on the Genreverse. But instead, we need to bitch about women.
You jumped right in the deep end with that one.
No. So here's the thing. Women are dividing Star Wars, but it's not like women getting in there and being divisive. Yeah, sure, there are some out there, just like there's plenty of men out there being divisive. But the thing is anytime a woman comes up in Star Wars, a big fight starts. Like you got these extreme sides of anytime there's a female involved, it's you know, they got it because they're female, or it's not going to be good because it's female led or female spun. And everyone gets thrown, anyone with any type of criticism towards a project, a Star Wars project or whatever, will be lumped in with that same, you know, extreme crew. And then you got the other side, you know, of the extremes. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It always just comes down to these two groups just screaming at each other.
Right.
So we've got some comments.
Future.
What's that?
It's like they fight over the franchise's future, you know,
whilst not really
having any kind of say on it. But you end up with everybody boycotting everything Star Wars because none of them like it. No one sees any Star Wars content.
Basically, you've got some comments coming out from the would be, maybe, will be more than likely director, and I only make those comments because of how many movies have gotten canned. I'm being a little bit tongue in cheek here.
I think you could say
the director of the Rey,
of the other directors you know, saying that
for me. The director of the Rey movie, the Rey's New Jedi Order movie, so to speak, has come out and you know, promoting what they're doing in a way. Cam, why don't you tell us what was said?
Well, I mean, not much, to be perfectly honest. Shamino Beda-Chinoy, who is the Oscar-winning director, who, and I say that because, you know, that whole fandom menace.
It's a documentary. She won an award for a documentary, if I'm not mistaken.
Still a winner. I'll give it to her.
Still a winner, but a documentary is, because someone in the comments will say that, and I will agree, a documentary is a little different than a story written movie, but still award winning,
right? But I think there was some comments that she just appeared out of nowhere and no one had heard her before.
Not.
I don't think that's fair to say for an Oscar winning director, you know. Maybe they don't follow that side of things, but you know, people in the movie industry do. She was interviewed by CNN, one of the foreign CNNs, over, I think, in her native, she was born in Pakistan, so I believe it was over there. And she was asked about the Star Wars project. She didn't say much. What she said was, "I'm very thrilled about the project because I feel what we're about to create is something very special. And we're in 2024 now," because it was New Year, they interviewed her. "And it's about time that we had a woman come forward to shape a story in a galaxy far, far away." That is all she said.
Yeah. That's the phrase that set off a firestorm, so to speak, because on the one hand you have Bryce Dallas Howard, who has directed many episodes. You have Deborah Chow. There, I think I did that before when we were talking about Kenobi a while ago. go see our reviews. But you have her who did the Kenobi show, as well as stuff with the Mando.
I mean, you got the head of Lucasfilm.
The head of Lucasfilm.
Yeah. Patty Jenkins was originally supposed to be the first Rogue Squadron.
So you and then the females involved in the Acolyte. Mm-hmm. And so there is this thing where a group of people are like, hey, you're right. And that's the qualifier there. But you had people bringing up and words matter, because she didn't say it's time for a woman to shape a story on the big screen. The qualifier does matter in a little bit of a way, and that's my kind of gripe. Isn't necessarily that she's saying, hey, it's time for a woman, because if she had said the qualifier big screen, I don't think there would necessarily, you would still have some being out there, well, just best person for the job, yada yada, whatever. But I don't think it would be as big a deal as this, because it's kind of like when people say, oh, it's the first woman this or the first woman that in sci-fi or something, then people bring up, you know, well, what about Ripley, or what about this female character, or in gaming, and you're like, well, what about XYZ? It feels like that sometimes. And so it's like poor word choice, if anything, from her. My whole biggest thing about this, though, is we've all been like, you know, Who would we, when Mando season one first hit, we were like finding out who directed what, we're like, well, who would we give a movie? And I think all three of us were definitely like, Bryce Dallas Howard, give her a movie. Why not? Absolutely, give her a movie. Not just based on her episodes, but other works she's got. I don't think people would be so upset about a female director. I think this is that other extreme. I mentioned the ones where anything female is bad. Well, here's the other extreme, which is we have to figure out a way to tout and celebrate and bring attention to something that we are supposed to have been fighting to normalize. And if something is normalized, that means when you do it, people are pretty much silent because it's normal. If you said Bryce Dallas Howard is directing the next Star Wars movie, I think most people, and you never say, you know, first woman this or anything, I think most people at that point, it would just be normal. They'd be like, okay, there's the director of the next Star Wars movie. My whole thing, we're never, ever, ever going to reach normalcy if we're always looking for some sort of qualifier for first. It's kind of like that whole thing of, and this is not me saying that the fight for equality in any industry is necessarily over, but that the price of victory does come with eventually having to lay down arms. Eventually, that you're going to run out of firsts, and having to qualify every single first is going to get frustrating and annoying, because you are kind of stepping on the trailblazers that came before you, instead of saying, hey, now it's normal for me. Good for me. This is normal. Right. This is what victory looks like. You're still looking for that extra bit of attention. I'm not saying that's what did happen here, but I can see that perception. Words matter. Yeah, anyways, that's my bit. That's the kind of clickbaity, guys. We're not blaming women for dividing anything here, but Shockey, what's your opinions on the controversy and just her, you know, what she's got in store for us in general?
All right. So the controversy, both sides have a good argument to it, because kind of like you just pointed out, words matter. So you're not necessarily stepping down on the previous women who worked in Star Wars, but you're basically trying to make some sort of new flagpole that you're holding on to and stuff and everything. So I agree that there's some kind of backlash to it, because I mean, you think about it, you know, Kathleen Kennedy has been in charge of, you know, the entire Lucasfilm production for, what are we on, 15 years now?
12 years since Disney bought it in 2012. So.
And so, you know, she's had a major part in everything that Star Wars has been about for these past 12 years. You look at Carrie Fisher, and, you know, say what you want about The Last Jedi, but if you talk to Rian Johnson, she, you know, was just as a pivotal part in directing as he was. You know, I remember when I went to Star Wars Celebration, and you know, it was just shortly after she had passed away. Rian Johnson had said, you know, a lot of the nights she would come and sit in his office or wherever, and they would go through rewrites together, and they would play things out, and she goes, this needs to be done here and that. So, you know, you look at all
this. She was a famous script doctor in Hollywood. Yeah. You know, that's one of the things she did is take people's scripts and beef them up.
Yeah. Yep. And I think you look at just Star Wars in general, and all the strong female characters, starting with Leia.
You're good, man.
You look at all the strong female characters going all the way from Leia to, you know, Ahsoka Tano and everything in between. You know, I think that was the word choice was wrong. You know, I think back to Star Wars Celebration last year, and when the announcement was made, and Charmaine comes out with Rey, and the amount of excitement people had, because I think there was good excitement around it, because not necessarily the Ms. Marvel series was amazing or whatever, but people were like, oh, okay, it was a good series, and you know, and so there was a good direction.
Had its moments.
It had its moments, right?
In the first 2.5 episodes.
Okay, yeah, but it's, so a lot of the Marvel stuff had issues, but then. Oh, yeah. Think about when the announcement of Patty Jenkins.
Rather than well written, something.
Yeah, sure.
But you listen. You think about the announcement when they did the announcement for Patty Jenkins and Rogue Squadron. How many people were excited about that? So
until Wonder Woman 84 hit.
Then
we all got scared.
You got scared. All right. I don't know about all of us got scared, but at the same time, but the announcement was great. So I'm looking forward to, you know, the new Rey movie and seeing where the new direction of Star Wars goes. But to kind of throw it in the face, as she says, I like to make men uncomfortable. Listen,
you
didn't need to say that. Okay?
You don't need to say that.
Yeah, I mean, just make a movie. Like, if you want to make me uncomfortable, then I'll watch The Last Jedi again. I'll watch Kenobi again and stuff like that, you know? Yeah, that makes me uncomfortable to watch some of that stuff as much as I love it, you know? But I didn't need that, you know? Like, I'm here to support you. Like, I'm here part of the community. I'm part of the Star Wars community. So for you to target a group and saying, I'm here to make men uncomfortable, I was like, well, like, that's not a good step to do. Like, this is where Disney has a bad PR situation, you know, when it goes to even the actress for Snow White, when, you know, that whole fiasco came about during the actors and writers strike, and, you know, Snow White going in a different direction. She doesn't need to be saved by a man and stuff. I'm like, do we really need to say these things? There's some things we just need to keep, you know, to ourselves. Make a movie that challenges me as a man to think. Great. Sure.
Have the sense to realize you've already got a sensitive audience, and I'm not calling I don't mean sensitive as in boohoo wusses. Audience that is constantly on guard looking for something to point at, poke at, validate, whatever. Keep your mouth shut.
Listen,
Listen,
I watch anything and everything. Shoot, I mean, doesn't matter what it is. If you tag Star Wars to it, I'm going to sit down and watch it. Now, does that mean I'm going to enjoy it and love it? You know, that's up for debate and stuff like that. But if you challenge me and how I think and stuff like that, okay, great. You know, I'm all for it and stuff. But you don't need to throw that in my face and stuff. Just like if you had a male director saying, I love to challenge women and how they think and stuff, how would that have been taken? You know, that's just words, like you said, words matter in this situation,
especially in a business.
Yes.
In a business situation, and sometimes, guys, and I talk about this on the Daily Cog here on the channel a lot. Sometimes you got to play the smart business, even if it's not necessarily what you. I don't want to say believe, because I don't believe in going against like convictions, but keeping your mouth shut. In that situation, you're not being silenced. You're just not.
Just don't say it. Keep it inside.
You're not rubbing it in. You know what I'm saying? You're going to do
think
what
it.
You're going to do.
Don't say
think
it.
But think smart business. Yeah. You want us in seats, right? You don't want to be like, what's her name? When she was doing all the stuff for the Charlie's Angels reboot, Elizabeth Banks, this isn't for you. Okay. Well, no one went. Now what? So you don't want to cause a situation like that. This is what
Ghostbusters,
Cam.
Remember?
Yeah. Oh yeah. What do you think, Cam?
Yep. I mean, I am unusual in this type of situation that, you know, like no matter what she says, I just don't give two shits about what anyone says about what their politics are. I don't care about this men versus women thing. I don't care about the people that, you know, think they're campaigning to save Star Wars. And I don't care about the people that love anything as long as it says the name Star Wars on it as well. I just have more an opinion, and my opinion will be formed about this movie when it's released and I'm sitting watching it. And if it's good, I'll say it's good, and I don't care what happened before. And if it's shit, I'll say it's shit. You know, and that's just the way I see it with these sort of things. You know?
Listen, I hope every Star Wars project that comes out is a $1 billion project, because that just means we get more Star Wars. That's the, you know, that to me at the end of the day, if people love it and go see it and stuff, that means we get more Star Wars. And if it's something that is mind altering and stuff, that I'll go see it over and over and over again, you know. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with a female lead and stuff. If it's great, I'm going to enjoy it. I hope that this movie does bang busters in the box office, you know, but just at the same time, remember who your audience is. Like, remember who's, you know, going to go, you know, see these movies and stuff.
They don't alienate your audience. And that's, and it's not even that there's no females in the audience, although we can point, and we won't go down that road anyways, right, about who, no one's keeping someone from seeing something, but you don't insult the audience.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, even if you're going, like you said, even if you're going to be challenged, by all means, challenge me as a, right, as a person, not just as a man, but as a human being, please do challenge me. But you don't go nanner nanner boo boo with it. That's the whole thing. And that was kind of why I liked to, wanted to put that title in there, is because, again, it's that whole aspect of, if you do have a polarized group where if you say woman, it's bad, it's trash, it's she got it only because she's a woman. And then the other groups that are just like, look, attention, first, but it's not really a first. It's only a first when you put like a few qualifiers, twist and right hand blue, left hand green and whatnot. And that gets frustrating and annoying for multiple people on multiple levels. Like I said, I get it when you're like, well, what about everyone that came before you? You can't even sit there and say, hey, thank you for what you did, so I could be here, without saying I'm also doing something.
Just be humble about it. Just be.
You will eventually run out of things to accomplish, and that's the goal. Like, that's the goal
for the project. How much you're looking forward to, how much you think it's going to work, and the great ideas you've got for how to put it together and stuff like that. That's what I want to hear. That'll get me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I get what you're saying. You know, there's just no need to say all these things. Sometimes it doesn't help. If anything, it hurts. So So just, you know,
and it keeps people from seeing
the media.
Yeah, it gets people can keep people from seeing the finished project.
Right, because
where they don't get challenged at all. And
with box offices being so sensitive now, like, you know, so like, you don't want to alienate anybody, because there are people out there in that one statement now that will not go see it based on that principle. Yeah, absolutely.
They're done.
And so you're not making $1 billion projects anymore. So you have to be so careful. You have to get, you know, your audience back into the theaters and whoever will go see it. So I don't care. I'm still going to go see it, just like Cam is going to go see it. And if it's great, it's great. If it's shit, it's shit. But you have people that are Star Wars fans hear that comment. I like to challenge men and stuff like that, and take it and be like, you know what? Nope, I'm not going to go see it. And now you've lost that $10-$15 ticket right there. And where movie theaters are struggling, you know, to make, you know, profits and stuff. That's, you don't want to do that. That's bad PR. I hope Charmaine does well. I think she deserves it. Listen, as long as it's not J.J. Abrams or Robert Rodriguez, I'll go see it, you know? Like, those are the only two directors, not because I think they're horrible people, whatever. Like, Robert Rodriguez just isn't a Star Wars guy after his take on Book of Boba Fett. I'll go see any other Robert Rodriguez film or whatever he does. But if it's Star Wars, I'm going to pass. Same thing with J.J. Abrams. I'm not going to do it.
He had two shots.
He got two shots and he's done, you know, stuff like that. Ryan Johnson, you're going to have to do an amazing, you know, marketing campaign to get me to go into a theater and go see it. I'll wait till it comes out on Disney Plus and watch it. That's what I'm saying. If it happens,
and how many years later?
Those are men. Yeah, those are
those are all dudes. They're all dudes, right? Like, don't ever, like, no. Ever,
right?
Ever,
I'm done with
never
them.
Again.
Yeah, I'm done with them, and you know, and so if they come out and say J.J. Abrams is doing another Star Wars movie, I will not go see it in theaters. I'll wait till it goes to Disney Plus
I've never, in fact, The Force Awakens might be one of his best films. that right. It's the only one that I partially enjoyed because I've Which never liked any of these films really. So, for a new director, here's the thing.
J.J. Abrams' best Star Wars film is the first Star Trek film, hands down. I could hear some people in the comments already, you know, snowflake men can't take a woman saying that she'll challenge them. We're not saying that you're not wrong. A person should be able to hear that. We're saying specifically in the business sense of things.
Bad.
Just the business sense of things, guys. So take it in that context. We're talking about what makes smart business right now. It's like when I've mentioned the Fantastic Four movie should be the comic book personified on film. It should. And yes, that means even though they've already done it that way before, so to speak, it really should. You should take no leeway with the lore, with the look, the feel, any of it. And why? Because that is Marvel's first family, and you're in a situation with the MCU right now where you have no goodwill. And therefore, you would want that particular movie to be almost a carbon copy of what people think of when they think Fantastic Four. That would be smart business sense. Not necessarily the best story.
Like all comics, though, there's a lot of various versions of
the
first family.
But what comes to mind? That's the key. That's the key. I got that, but that's the key. That's why I said what comes to mind. Classic, fantastic. That's what, and that to me was the smart business.
I just mean, I have a slightly different view because the original Fantastic Four was pretty campy.
But to your point and stuff, it's like as long as she keeps it in a realm of Star Wars, but you go off and do whatever you want with it and stuff like that, I'm okay with it and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm still gonna go see it. I hope this movie does well. I think Daisy Ridley is great. You know, as an actress, I think she was great as Rey Skywalker. My problem with the sequel trilogy was the writing. Everything else, no, there was no plan behind it. I think if you had a plan and put in place, I think Daisy Ridley's Rey Skywalker, you know, even if she had been a Skywalker from the beginning, I'm okay with it and stuff. I hope this does well. I hope it makes $1 billion because that means more. And that means, you know, we get a slew of other female lead, you know, Star Wars movies. Great. Okay. One of my favorite characters, if not my favorite character, well, Captain Rex is my favorite character of the modern Star Wars and stuff, but Ahsoka Tano is one of my favorite characters in Star Wars and stuff. I've had an amazing time of meeting with Ashley Eckstein and with Rosario Dawson. And I fanboy over them when I met them and stuff and everything, you know. So to come out and say that, that's just like, it's bad PR. And
yeah,
especially in a time period where movies are not doing well in the box office. The box office is back to where we were, what, like late 80s?
Time to play smart business.
So,
got to play smart business.
Yeah, very smart business there.
And it's going to be smart business for us to go ahead and consider wrapping it up right there. Did you guys have any other thoughts on stories? Cam, did you have anything else on that one?
No. I mean, the only other thing on that story was that I kind of jammed it in at the same time as that John Williams said that he might not retire if an interesting film comes along.
Yeah.
And I just kind of put two together and thought, well, Ray, he made the Ray theme. He really liked the Ray theme. Wonder if they could get him back, because it wouldn't be like for to score a full movie, but
yeah, you know, yeah. Kind of like what they did with Kenobi.
Come back for Kenobi.
Yep. You know, yeah, you're very old back. And you know.
Do one or two. People need to embrace the end of their careers and find a little something else to do. But then again, he's had that career for a very, very, very long time. So I could see why it would be hard to let it go. And as long as you can lift your hands up and down and draw little black circles and lines on paper, why not?
I guess if you're a musician,
keep doing it.
You maybe never stop thinking of your music.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. So you guys should never stop subscribing. Well, actually, you only got to do it once, but if you haven't done it, do it now. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Never stop watching the content here on the channel. Anime reactions, trailer reactions, podcasts covering... I need to remember how to breathe. podcasts covering everything you can imagine in geek, pop, culture, entertainment. Those podcasts also go up on all your favorite podcast apps. We have merch in the description, merch link in the description box down below. And of course, all the stories we talked about today and more over at LRMonline.com, as well as the podcasts, celebrity interviews from LRM YouTube channel. And Shockey will tell you what you can do if you've ever considered writing for entertainment news and opinion stuff.
Yeah, Shockey. So if you have a thought or opinion and you want it out there, you want to share your voice with the rest of the world and be like us and, you know, open your hearts and your feelings to other people.
And no one like me but me.
Send me an email. It's michael@lrmonline.com. Just put it in the title header, you know, interested in writing or interested in contributing, and we can get you started. We're looking to grow this site as big as we can and make it different from the other websites, you know, where it's more about your thoughts, your opinions, not really, you know, what the mainstream, you know, audience wants. If you got a differing opinion, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, if you think you should find more specific qualifiers for firsts of things, come and write about it.
Yep.
Tell me how wrong I am. Would love it. Cam, anything else?
Nothing else.
All right, guys. It's been fun. Happy New Year. We'll see you next time. May the force be with you.